better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I don't know. It's like I went back, Tommy, and I listened to his very first press conference of football yesterday. Just went through some of the highlights. And then I got to the one last night. And in those weeks, as far as the quarterbacks go, there has really been, in fact, literally has not been anything changed. Nothing's different. Nothing. It's the same group. He's saying the same things. There has not been any more development. There's not been anything mentioned about what's the strength, what's the weakness, what this guy needs to work on, what that guy needs to work on. There's nothing more that we know about the quarterback situation now than we did at the beginning of fall camp. And I just found that to be really interesting because there are some other positions that we know a little more about. There are some other individuals that we know more about as far as their development and how they've been coming along. Some names that have been mentioned. But I just find it interesting that when it came to quarterbacks and the position that people, everyone wants to hear about, most important position on the field, the leader and all of that, literally nothing has changed. Nothing's been updated. And I don't know when that will actually change or happen. So I just thought that was really interesting from Chad that, you know, we're sitting in the same spot we were 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I guess, at this point, when it comes to quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Just thought that was fascinating.
Coaches are paranoid. Coaches want to keep competition going in practice. There's a lot of reasons why coaches say the things they say and don't say some of the things we're wishing they would enlighten us on. And I don't know here's the thing that's confusing to me. If you're still trying to create competition in practice and competition at the position, you've told us your coordinator, Joe Craddock, has told us. You've said we've got all the information. All we need to see.
You're done.
So we just can't pull the trigger on making a decision? Or where are we at? We still trying to cite this thing in? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
We still evaluating film? We still trying to sit down with, and I know there's a process. You know, you need to probably have a sit down with all of them and inform them of what you're doing and what the plan is. I get it. But this is week one against Portland State. I expect all of them to play anyway, the three of them at least.
Yeah. Maybe even four. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think you'll see KJ Jefferson. That's just me.
Get that four-game rule.
You know, if they can't get the starter ready, if they can't name a starter, do you really think they have a fourth guy ready to go at quarterback? Come on, man. Think about that.
At this point, I don't know.
Think about that.
I don't know.
They don't seem to be able to have the ability to pick between one of two guys, it appears. Maybe one of three. You really think they got a fourth guy ready to roll out there?
I don't know. I don't know anything. None of us know anything. We don't know what the process is going on behind closed doors.
The problem is the perception with fans. People listening right now is, do they know? Do they know what they're doing? I don't think that's accurate or fair, but that's the perception right now.
They're trolling us, man. That's what I think. They're just trolling us all.
Well, troll the media all you want, but you're trolling the fans.
Yeah.
Those people that pay the bills.
Yeah,
they have a right to.
It's not the people you want to troll at this point in time. Hey, Tucker and Sherwood texted in our Cherokee Casino hotline. It says, it's funny, fans were up in arms because there was no quarterback competition when the Allen brothers were named starting quarterbacks in the first week or so in camp. Now that we've had quarterback competitions the last 2 years, the fans are up in arms because Morris waits until game week to name the winner of the quarterback competition. I get why it's this year, because the quarterbacks are supposed to be much better than what we had last year, but it's still reminding them of back and forth that went on into the season last year. Yeah, you're never going to feel good about it if you're losing. You're going to question everything if you're losing. Did anybody question Bobby Petrino when he had the quarterback competition between Tyler Wilson and Ryan Mallett in 2009? Anybody question that? Anybody freak out? Think it was a terrible thing? No. You know why? Because they had faith and trust in Bobby Petrino that he was going to make the right decision. And right now, there's a lot of people that don't have that same faith and trust in Chad Morris, just because you're coming off of a 2-10 season. He's got to earn that trust back. He's got to earn it all back. And he can do it by simply winning. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Don is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
Hey, guys. Favorite conversation. This is just a simple redneck thought. I think he's nervous because of his last year, which you guys just mentioned. He does not want to name somebody and come out and look flat. He is actually more nervous than we are. He cannot have an overconfident attitude and come out and fall flat on his face this year. Because I don't even really realize if he's going to be the coach. I mean, and I'm thinking he might think the same after last year. That's my only thought. The reason he is not, like Tuck said up in Dentonville, the reason he's not making the decision is because he doesn't have confidence in himself. That is a fact. Because, but Bobby Petrino, you say what you want, man was very confident. Very confident. And I cannot be the only one still missing Petrino. I'm going to end on that. You guys have a good day.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Don. I know it's sad that you got to keep going back to Petrino, but that's unfortunately where everyone's going
to be.
That's
where everybody's wanting to get this program back to.
Yeah. And it's fair
to go back to his results. Everybody wants to go back to his results, not back to his personality, demeanor. I mean, he was always fine with the media. Maybe talking about he mistreated a lot of people behind closed doors that worked there. But
no one cares if you're winning.
Yeah, you know.
But when you're losing, everyone doubts you. And I get what you're also saying, Don. I mean, that's the perception that people are having right now, is that there's just not a lot of confidence in what's going on up there. Not only from the fan perspective, but the perception that from Chad Morris and the staff is like, are y'all confident in what you're doing? Because it doesn't come across that way. And I could be completely wrong about it. And let's be honest, folks. If Arkansas goes out and they wow people and they go 6-6, which is sad to say, I know, but that's where you're at right now. If you go 6-6 this year, no one at the end of the day, at the end of the season, after that Missouri game, if you ended up beating them in Little Rock, is going to come back and be like, yeah, okay, Chad Morris, you did a good job, but man, how long it took you to name a quarterback, I'm still going to hold that against you. No one's going to care about it if you go out and you produce. But until you produce, people are going to doubt. There's not a lot of trust. There's not a lot of confidence because you went 2-10 last year. You're going to question everything, and you should. And it's okay to do so. But this is why we just need the football season to freaking get here so we can actually have some games and see the results instead of speculating and assuming. It gets old, man. It gets really old. But I understand where everybody's coming from and appreciate the phone call, Don. But it's just, this is where you're at right now, and this is what you're having to deal with. And if the starting quarterback gets named on Monday morning, it'll probably be right after we get done with the show, because that's what happens, Tommy. All the big news comes out as soon as we get done. Then on Tuesday, we'll come in, we'll talk about the starting quarterback, and then we'll start saying, all right, let's see what happens. Let's see what moves forward. See if this can finally get going. But until that point in time, this is what we got to do. We got to question. We got to speculate. We got to doubt. But in some cases, some of you probably still believe. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I personally don't understand what the big deal is with him not naming a quarterback right now at this point.
Okay.
I mean, it's just my opinion, but, you keep going back to the 2-10 season, and, you know, you really can't throw that in his lap if you want to, you know, you can't throw that season in his lap. I mean, Bielema, you know, he had our program in such bad shape, you know, I mean, he took the reins real late in the season, you know, and everybody, I understand everybody getting worked up, but man, at some point, all the fans, everybody's got to sit back and say, hey, you know what, let's take a deep breath and just let this guy coach, you know. There's not a deadline to naming a starter quarterback that I know of, and the regulations in football, you know, that's where I'm at with it. I mean, I understand everybody wants to know who it's going to be, but you know, the thing about it is this right here. If Ben Hicks can't, you know, take the starting role after being there this spring, you know, and everybody says, well, he knows the football, he knows the system. You bring in Nick Starkle, he's an athlete, you know. Is he not capable to understand what the system is and take that starting role? I mean, that's where I'm at. So.
Yeah. Well, and I can understand, appreciate the phone call, JR. We're up against the break, man. But I get that. And that's all I'm saying is that, at the end of the day, if you go 6-6 and everything ends up being fine, no one's going to remember or care about the fact you didn't name a starting quarterback until game week. No one's going to care about that. But it's just right now with what the results that people have and the only evidence that they have to see is a 2-10 season where the quarterback situation was terribly handled at the beginning of the year. And I think most fans are just fearful that that's going to happen again this year. You can't figure it out.
We live in a state where the spoken word by the head football coach at the University of Arkansas is more paid attention to, more watched, more analyzed than the words of the governor.
It is.
Period. Only time we talk about what the governor has to say around here, and most people, is when it has something to do with War Memorial Stadium. I mean, that's just the fact. You've got to understand what you say matters. Your whispers are a lion's roar when you're the head coach. And Chad Morris has to understand that people are out there because this is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets to a point where people don't care, you're in big trouble.
Yep.
We're all in big trouble. So that's still something I think he grasped. I think. But, you know, he's probably wondering, why is this such a big deal to everybody? Why are they hanging on every word here, waiting on me to name a starting quarterback? Dude, you're the most paid attention to public official in this state. And because the decisions you make mean a lot to the people out here listening,
mm-hmm,
and paying attention and buying tickets to pay your salary.
And by you naming a quarterback, it just shows these people that they can have hope and faith in you trust in you.
I'm just saying people pay attention. It matters. Understand the gravity of that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
That's right, folks. Clay Henry, Hogs Illustrated publisher, joins us for the final 2 hours of today's show. Clay, I would ask you how you're doing this morning, but frankly, I just don't care. But either way, just for the sake of it all, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know what, John, I just was thinking about this as Tommy was doing the commercial about the new Sierras and the air-conditioned back seat. If I had one of those and you were in the back seat, I'd make sure that air was turned off.
And you would be the kind of guy, you would move your seat all the way back to give him less leg room too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and then the other thing that I would do, in these, you know, all these fancy seat warming stuff, when you'd pop in there, I'd make sure that seat warmer was all the way up.
Well, Clay,
I'm talking about August.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's very nice of you, Clay. And I'd make sure that I had a lot of bean burritos before I ate too, to make sure that you paid for it as well.
So that would get the seat heaters off.
Are you saying the new smell would evaporate?
Yes. We'd be having a little back and forth there in the car if we're going to play that game. But it is good to have you on, though, and it is good to be able to talk with you. It's, hey, man, we're just 8 days away, and obviously, the topic of conversation, which has been going on all week, and it's been going on already this morning, the quarterback situation. Chad Moore still yet to name a starting quarterback, Clay.
Well, he may have named a starting quarterback. He just hadn't told us. And that's happened a lot. I mean, I've known several times where the players all knew for a week, but nobody told us. Bielema did that. Had told Brandon Allen, and they just kind of kept it under wraps for another 2 or 3 days. But I think they know, and everything's probably, you know, they might have some little celebration and dance thing, you know, one of these next practices or whatever. I bet it might come out Sunday night. But his pretty much practice in his time at SMU was to name the starter at the kind of the presser that's on Monday before game week. And I think part of it is they don't really want to give anything to anybody else. They got to put out a depth chart. Now they can put an OR in the depth chart. But he's been doing this a long time. And, you know, I was listening to the last 30 minutes of the show, and we had a caller that, you know, that questioned whether he had any confidence, or, you know, it's like he could he – was he nervous? I think he's as sure of what he's doing as any coach that I've seen. And I think he all those years of being a head coach – you know, whether it be at Eustis, Stephenville, Lake Travis, and you can think what you want about, you know, what goes on down there in Texas, but those little towns, man, they're on top of you, and they it's a big deal. And, you know, he's done this before. And, you know, they picked a quarterback at Tulsa. They picked quarterbacks at Clemson, and he was the guy. He was the quarterback coach. He's the one that picked him. Dabo didn't pick him. And so I don't really worry about this. And, you know, I wrote something, it's online now. It went up last night, where I talked to some old quarterback coaches and some people that have seen practice. And it's like, he's got four good choices. They like KJ Jefferson. In fact, one guy said he's got some Cam Newton in him. And, you know, it's the comparison that they made from seeing the early parts of practices last year and what they're doing now is that the ball's not on the ground now. And that's what's making it tough. And former head coaches, I talked about, maybe 10 people. I call it phone a friend. Remember the old, you want to be a millionaire and you save that. I save my phone a friends till the end of the 3 weeks of the grind. And, you know, kind of find somebody that knows a little more about football than me, knows a little bit more about, you know, quarterback play than me. And they say that this team is significantly better, especially at that position. And that one of these guys said he watched last year, and he went away saying that with these quarterbacks, they're not probably not going to win a game. And they won two. So he was wrong.
So, Clay, you've been – I think I'm stating you accurately. You've been pretty much of the belief Ben Hicks would eventually be named the starter. Do you? Am I right on that? That's what you said at this
would.
Point.
Yeah.
All right. Do you still believe that, or who do you believe ultimately will be named starter?
Yeah,
for game
I don't
one?
Think. I don't think he. I don't think he's. I think he would have to disqualify himself with poor play, because I think that Starkle's still learning some of the nuances and getting ultra comfortable with the terminology. You know, I think he's still, you know, it's, you can speak it, you can say it. I mean, do you think in that language? You know, I go back to listening to Yelder Froholt. They say, well, he was pretty fluent in English, but he cursed in Danish. and, you know, when he got emotional, it went to the other language. And, you know, you're wanting to make sure that, you know, that the plays that he's talking about and thinking about without any hesitation are in Joe Craddock's language and Chad Morris's language and not in Kevin Sumlin's language, because they're running a lot of the same stuff that Sumlin ran, you know, the RPOs. It wasn't what they did last year under Jimbo. And so but it just takes a little time for it to all, you know, just blurt out under pressure, you know, exactly what they want it to sound like as far as, you know, how he calls the plays, what he does, how he thinks. And if you want to say he's got a better arm and he's more talented, it really doesn't matter in 99% of the situations. You know, the there's every once in a while a throw that maybe he's got that Hicks doesn't. But as far as being able to get the ball in space in the soft spots, those are not hard, you know, bullet throws. They need to have touch on them more than anything else. And so it's, yeah, I don't worry about that position, guys. I mean, I think it's either one of them. Now, you want to get the right one to go down the line, but I think whichever one of those, and I'm telling you, John Stephen Jones is terrific. And the coaches that saw him are like, boy, it's like he has made him a part of, made with how he's played, in this camp, he's made himself part of the equation. You know, like, well, what about him? Let's make sure. And then he'll go out, you know, take the second team down the field for a touchdown, and he just looks like he's slick. And, you know, he's not as tall as those other two. But as far as running this offense, I mean, it's you go back to, what was his name, the North Texas quarterback, Mason Fine.
Mason Fine.
And he's about 5'9", 5'10". And this is what, you know, and he could do the same thing. I mean, he just was a field general that could throw it around and execute the stuff. And so I'm just telling you, it's not as easy as saying, is it Hicks or Starkel? It's Hicks, Starkel, Jones. And then you've got a little magic in those feet with KJ Jefferson. And, you know, a guy I talked to, it's like, got a little Cam Newton in him. You know, he's not ready yet. Every time he throws, he might step in the wrong place. It might be a little, you know, not quite as accurate. But I'm going to tell you that I believe they know what they're doing over there, and they'll get the right guy. And it might be that any of them that they pick is the right guy, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they were that good at all the other positions, this baby would roll. So, you know, I think that they are a better team. Significantly improved at quarterback. In fact, everybody that's been into a practice, they're like, this is not what we saw last year. These guys they're all legitimate SEC talent level quarterbacks. And they're talking about all four. And you might even throw Jack Lindsey in there. He doesn't get his due. By the way, he was put on scholarship last night. I think there were five guys, Tyson Morris, Stoudemire, Jack Lindsey. I don't know. I would have to kind of go back and look. We can check on that. But there are five guys that got scholarships last night.
But, Clay, you got to admit, though, you can understand why fans are a little skeptical of the situation with the quarterback.
Oh, no, I get it. Fans are fans. I mean, it's like here's the thing that they want to know, and that's really the gist of it. They want to know. And, I mean, they're tired of waiting, and they want to know. And the other part is they want to know, and I'm coming to Fort Smith Tuesday for the quarterback club meeting. I think it's 11:30 at Hardscrabble. I went to Tulsa Tuesday night of last week, talked to the Razorback club there. And, you know, I always like to, you know, give a little talk, and then you get to the questions, and then you find out what do they really want to know. They want to know when we're going to win. I mean, it's not, you know, it's like, I'm talking about a direct quote. And I was asked it once, and a little later, another guy asked the same question. I said, well, I answered that. He goes, well, I didn't really get all I wanted out of that. So you're going to answer it again. When are we going to win?
Yep.
That's what they want to know. And so because they don't know the answer to that, then it falls back. When are we going to have a quarterback? I mean, I want to know when we're going to have a quarterback. And I think that they've had a plan on when they were going to do it, and they're right on target with what their plan is, and it frustrates people, and I get it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Go ahead, Rod.
Yes, Clay, or should I call you Mr. Cena?
I did my little Cena dance when the intro came in. You have to see it to believe it.
I don't know about that. Anyway,
wrong image, right?
Everybody's talking about quarterbacks. I mean, I know we don't have one name yet. I get that. They're all pretty good. I get that, too. And they can all fairly move, you know, pretty well. And that stretches a bit horizontally. But wouldn't you want somebody with a big arm to stretch it vertically? I mean, everybody knows who Nick Starkel is in the SEC, and they know he's got a bomb for an arm. And they're going to back off a little bit on their secondary with him under center, wouldn't they?
Well, see, I think you probably the big arm isn't that Hicks can throw it 60 yards down the field. He's got that kind of an arm. The deep ball is not what we're talking about. The pass that Starkel can throw that, that maybe Hicks doesn't quite have is that 25-yard out. That's the big arm. And, you know, that one has to be on a rope. But the deep pass is you know, throw it up there and put it in. And all those guys have got that. So they're going to stretch. In fact, the receivers have said all four quarterbacks can stretch the field vertically. They have that. And it's not and, you know, you don't want to. And, in fact, if you go back to Mallett, there were times that he threw some stuff that, you know, he threw it on a line. It's like, man, just drop it in there. And that's what you want on that deep ball. You want it to come into that pocket. And Hicks throws that ball really well, just like did, I think, Austin Allen. That was what he did better than say, Brandon. And Brandon might have had a little more RPMs on some things that he, you know, he could do. So, yeah, but I get your point. And I think that, you know, Starkle is, you know, in the equation. And I don't think there's, but so is Hicks. And so is John Stephen Jones. And you know, at some point, you know, in the next 2 years, you know, I think KJ Jefferson will be too. And it's, this is a good situation. It's not bad, but there's the perception that Starkle throws the deep ball better than Hicks is, I don't think that's reality. And it's not just about who can throw it the farthest, because they both throw it. They can put it out there. It's that lined shot. You know, on that deep out where, you know, where it's a rope. That's the pass that Starkle might throw just a little better than Hicks.
I appreciate the phone call, Rod. I got another question for you, Clay. This one comes in from our Cherokee Casino texting line from Doug in Sherwood. Says, in the 3 years Hicks was at SMU, he threw 15, 12, and 7 interceptions respectively. Will we see that number go up when he goes up against SEC defenses if he is the starter for Arkansas?
Yeah, so if you want to look at Starkle threw interceptions too, and they've both thrown interceptions in practice. And by and large, you know, the interceptions that they have thrown in practice have been tipped passes. And when you say a quarterback throws an interception, sometimes it isn't him. And with young wide receivers, there will be interceptions when they read an option route, and he trusts that they read it right, and he puts it there, and they zigged when they should have zagged, and all at once it goes straight to a defensive back, and you're like, man, that was on the quarterback. Well, it really wasn't. You know, and Austin and Brandon both threw interceptions that were on the wide receivers. And a lot of times, you know, it was, you know, the fans they booed at times, and I don't know who they were booing, because it wasn't the quarterback that you know, that was responsible. But that's the nature of the position, and, you know, every interception counts for the quarterback. It doesn't count for the wide receivers. But it's I don't know what his, you know, will it go up or it go down? He's done well in practice, and there hadn't been, you know, they have really cut back on turnovers this year compared to last year in preseason, and that's been their focus. And without question, that's how you win football games, is you don't turn the ball over. Bad teams turn it over, good teams do not.
Yeah, and to the point about preseason preparation, Joe Craddock talked about this. They're charting everything. They're tracking this. They know where they stood last year in turnovers. Clay, I think it's a matter of when you talk about it and you make it a point of emphasis, and it's what's coming out of the coach's mouth, it's what's going into the players' ears, you're bound to have improvement just because you've put an emphasis on making sure that ball security and taking care of the football both through the passing and running game is there. It's the total number of turnovers, whether it's an interception or a fumble, you got to eliminate, you're not going to eliminate all of them, but you got to get it back to where you're in a position to compete because you're not giving away short fields.
Yeah, there's one of the things they chart is balls in jeopardy. And they really kept that number to a minimum this camp. And that's how you avoid turnovers. And you just make sure. I think that's the term, wasn't it?
Yes.
Guys? Yeah.
B-I-J's is what they called them. Why are you snickering over here, neighbor?
I was just thinking that'd be a great fantasy football name. Balls in Jeopardy.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying, it's not. I haven't heard the term.
Now why would that be a great name?
And I'm immature. I have the mind of a 12-year-old.
Hey, John, so. I heard you do that read for Sassy's a while ago.
Yeah.
The great fantasy football name would be the Sassy Dogs.
Sassy Dogs.
That is a good one there.
And I mean, and I I would love. I mean, nobody can pick their own nickname. Nobody gets to do that.
Nope.
I mean, it's
and, it's illegal,
and it's just it. Does, I mean, you can think, hey, when I was in high school, the people at the Arkansas Gazette, because I play a lot of golf, they called me Nine Iron. I'd made a hole in one with Nine Iron, and it's the headline said Henry Aces with Nine Iron, and they called me Nine Iron, and I said, but I practice my wedge. Can I be the sand wedge? No, you don't get to pick your nickname. And John, you are the sassy dog. And it just fits in so many ways that you've got a little sass to you. I mean, if you played shortstop, I guarantee you the fans in the stands would say, slap some mustard on. That guy's a hot dog. Just the way he goes across the bag, he's the sassy dog.
So, he is a hot dog.
So you have given me the nickname or dubbed me the sassy dog.
You are the sassy dog.
Let's see if that sticks.
I don't know.
Oh, it'll stick because I'm going to say it.
I've had some nicknames in my life.
I don't know how many more days I got on this earth, but you are the sassy dog for that period.
Well, great. I'll be sure to change my Twitter handle to the sassy dog and see if that picks
up. Don't you like it?
No. Hey, listen, Clay, it's not the worst nickname I've ever been given. I can say that. Not the worst one. I've been given some terrible ones. Some I can't even say here on the air. But
you are. You've got some sass to you. I mean, you bring sassiness to me. I mean, you don't let me slide with nothing.
No, right? No, I don't. Because you
that's right, Nine Iron.
That's right, yeah. Nine Iron. That is, it doesn't have the same ring to it. But that's the thing, Clay, is that, you know, when you came on here, I felt like we were having some heated discussion about the quarterback situation, and you come bringing logic into the show, and it just it frustrates me.
Well, how do we get from turnovers to this, the sassy dogs?
Yeah, because balls in jeopardy got brought up.
Because balls in jeopardy, no, that's
but there,
right.
There is only – it's not sassy dogs. It is the sassy dog. There's only one.
There can only be one sassy dog.
Whether it's a nine on or a sassy dog, just take care of the football, either one of you.
Yeah. It's like, don't drop the hot dog, don't, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, and
5-second rule does not apply on hot dogs.
Well, Clay, let me ask you about this, too, because we had this this individual from the 479 text into our Cherokee Casino text line. He says that he feels that he heard from DJ Williams about John Stephen Jones and the quarterback situation, that John Stephen Jones is not good. But you're saying that you've heard that John Stephen Jones has been pretty impressive in practices. Is this something that you've been talking with people, or have you viewed him yourself? Just because John Stephen Jones is an interesting cat, where he kept getting mentioned in the press conferences by the coaching staff. So I think people have a vested interest in just seeing, okay, is he for real, or is it just more of trying to send some sort of message to the other guys?
Hey, I talked to three or four guys that, you know, veteran coaches. Some of them have been head coaches in the scrimmages and practices. They liked him and moved the ball, moved his team. Executed the short passing game, you know, the hot reads, those kind of things. And, they're not letting him run, but he's got some running ability and they like him and he knows the offense. So I think he's a viable option. I'd be surprised if that's the guy, but he's 1, 2, 3, 4. It all, however you want to line up the first two, they're better than they were at 1, 2, 3, 4 last year. I mean, significantly better. And, you know, whether, you know, John Stephen is, you know, the guy yet, but I think that he's someone that if you had a cup, you know, like, hey, it's easy. I can remember at South Carolina where they were with the third team quarterback in the third quarter. I can't remember all the people that got injured. It might have been Robbie Hampton and then Zach Clark, and then somebody else had to go play.
What, I mean, Rutledge? The third one.
I don't know if it was Rutledge, but they had to go to the third quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you have to go to the third quarterback, he can get you through a game and make some plays. And he knows how to play the game. And I respect DJ's opinion, but I also, when I hear a guy that coached quarterbacks in the NFL tell me that this guy can play, then I probably go with that more.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
He is saying good on me for taking on you old crusty geezers.
Who's he talking about?
He's talking about you two.
Oh,
I get talking about you and Clay.
Tommy.
Yeah. I get lumped into old crusty geezer?
Apparently. And I said, I mean, I'm not going to back down. And then he says, I deserve a raise. So Tommy, take notes.
You're two youngins. Neither one of them are teenagers yet, are they?
No, they're 9 and 8.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't be an old geezer. You don't even have a teenager yet.
Well, I've got, technically, I got one in her 20s, but that's... I don't think you've met Taylor.
No, I haven't met Taylor. But it's...
Argument's ruined.
Yeah. No. Well, I don't think so. I think it's... he is not an old geezer. I mean, it's like... I mean, it's like... Your hair's not like gray. Yes. My hair's gray.
I had to shave my beard off because it was turning too gray. I think I looked younger just by getting rid of the beard.
Tommy qualifies as maybe being older, but he's not old, and he's definitely not a geezer. Now, I could be that. I mean, that's
you're pushing the limit there, Clay. You're pushing the limit there. But here's the thing about Tommy, though. I'll give him credit at least in this. He still has a good head of hair. And that's usually the first thing people will notice on how old you are. So Tommy's still got some hair. It's not really that gray. I mean, you have a couple, like a gray hair or two, but for being 56, it looks good.
I didn't until you and Ty worked here, but I don't know if one has anything to do with the other.
No, that's fine.
Just saying.
That's fine. But we'll take that. But either way, we like to have some fun in here, it's a good gap.
You can take me on, but I will put you down.
Say that again. You digitally garbled there for a second.
I would say that... Sassy Dog can take me on, but I will set him in his place.
All right.
Well, no one heard you the first time.
Well, that's noted. Well, that's the good thing is you got a guy in his 20s, a guy in his 30s, a guy in his 40s, and a guy in his 80s.
Yeah, so early 40s, by the way.
80s.
So, but it's good.
I'm 80%
chemistry.
Of 80s.
80% of 80s. There you go. But, Clay, I did want to bring this up because we were talking, of course, about quarterback situations and the mixture of the offensive line. And it was talked about how last year, especially, that the offensive line wasn't good, and some people have always brought up the point, and I know that somebody did in our Facebook live stream, was like, hey, it wouldn't have mattered if Tom Brady was back there at quarterback. If you don't have a good offensive line, the rest of it doesn't matter, which I agree with. However, I do believe... I do believe, though, that there are some instances where you've had a good offensive line to great offensive line, but had poor quarterback play, and it led to a pretty anemic offense. And the one example I'll bring up, just in Arkansas specifically, is you think back to 2013 when you had Brandon Allen. I wouldn't say Brandon Allen was not a good quarterback, but certainly in 2013, his first year as a starter, he struggled mightily, only completed 49% of his passes for 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But he had one of the best offensive lines statistically in front of him. So you can have a great offensive line, but without having a competent quarterback, none of it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things. It's just you got to be able to find a balance. But to me, I'd rather have a great quarterback and a below-average offensive line than a great offensive line and a below-average quarterback.
I just want both.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on that, and that's pretty good, Sassy Dog. And I thought in the numbers, and when you look at sacks and incompletions, you have to balance those out. So one of the things that Brandon, I thought, did really good is he didn't take a sack. And he would scramble and throw it away. Well, I mean, that's horrible for your pass percentage, but it protects your offensive line sack numbers. And it also means your next down is a zero. Mm-hmm. You didn't lose any. You were zero. You didn't have a 12 yard. So instead of it's second and 10, it's not second and 18. And second and 10 is a heck of a lot better. And, I mean, Brandon and Austin were both good at that. And they also would stand in there and deliver the deep ball when there's a guy coming free. They'd go ahead and take the hit. You saw it. And that's, they didn't duck out of the way. They went in there and they get hammered right in the face. And, Mallett would do that. I think Mallett took a hit at Auburn. Nick Fairley, hit him. But he stood in there and took it and delivered the ball. And that's what, that's what good quarterbacks do. They know when to take the hit while they're delivering the ball, and they also know how to take a step to the side and throw it to grandma. I think that's part of what we're talking about, and that this quarterback play will make the offensive line better. And I will say this, great running backs make the offensive line better too.
For sure.
And I can remember watching Oklahoma football with Sims and Overstreet and some of the other great halfbacks. Merv Johnson, who was the offensive line coach, he would get an offensive lineman All-American, you know, about every third year. And he said, hey, those, you know, they run a sweep with Billy Sims, and he gets to the corner and nobody's out there. And it said, you know, that's an 80-yard touchdown play, and everybody chalks it up. Great offensive line play. He said, we didn't block anybody. So, you know, great running backs, great quarterbacks make your offensive line a lot better.
Yeah. And I know you got, you know, good eyes that you trust that have seen practices. Some of the things I hear, and you've got, you know, some good sources on this, is that's the one thing that John Stephen Jones does well is when the play's not going right, he knows how to get rid of the football and not get behind the chains because he, as you say, throw it to grandma, get rid of the ball and not put the team, you know, in negative yardage. And that's one of the things that I'm hearing that the players appreciate.
The play.
Yeah, that's one of the things the coaches and his teammates appreciate about John Stephen Jones is he knows how to scramble, get rid of the football, and move on to the next play.
Yeah, just buy a little time, extend the play, and not take a loss and turn something that maybe is not great into, you know, sometimes you got to make somebody miss, and it's an art. You know, we call what Fran Tarkenton was the artful dodger, and, you know, sometimes it's quarterback play. Now, I don't think Hicks or Starkler can do that. They might can step up in the pocket a little bit. And by the way, when Austin and Brandon were at their best, that was what they did. You know, it looks like the pocket's about to collapse. You know, the tackle's maybe not holding their point real good, and they take that little hop step, and they're up in the pocket, and then something good happens, right?
That's right. Well, I mean, but Clay,
are you there, sassy dog?
Well, I know. Can you hear me? I'm here. I'm speaking to you right now. But you know that. But that's the thing, Clay, is that, you know, with the quarterback situation and how it, with, and because I'm gonna keep going back to the offensive line and how your first point of saying how it makes everything look a lot better and great running backs, but it just seems like the way college football or just football in general is played now is that you can overcome so much with great quarterback play or at least good quarterback play, to where the offensive line issues aren't as glaring and they don't even get brought up. Because I believe it was Johnny Manziel's, and I know I'm not comparing Arkansas quarterbacks to Johnny Manziel, but I think it was Johnny Manziel's final year in college. His offensive line was not good. It wasn't good. They were struggling to run the ball, and they had to count on him, but they still were very successful offensively because of the decision-making and the playmaking ability by Johnny Manziel. And I feel like if you can go all in on making sure that you have a competent quarterback in the back that can make good decisions and especially have some legs underneath them to run if needs be, that's what's going to be able to carry you as an offense more so than having a great offensive line in front of you. Because it, just going back, even if you look at Brett Bielema's second year in 2014, the offensive line, I mean, that offensive line was stacked with some great pros. I mean, some guys that went on in the league, and Sam Pittman was doing a great job. But their offense overall, as far as scoring the ball in passing game, was still not that great. So if you have a great quarterback, that overcomes so much more than having a great offensive line.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you how much time we got, because I'm
I'll get
this
2 minutes.
Might be a dissertation. Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna give you some football 101. The defensive coordinators since the beginning of time will tell you: blitz the young ones, defend against the experienced, the good ones. Mm-hmm. And if they can beat you with their feet, you don't blitz. I mean, you'll be wrong in a hurry. So you remember the last Johnny Manziel trip to Fayetteville? Texas A&M just ran the ball right at Arkansas, just ran it the whole game. And what happened is Arkansas spread their defense to defend both the scramble and the pass. And it just Noel Mazzoni was the offensive coordinator. They just handed off. I mean, it was like, you know, 50 running plays for like 300 yards. I don't have the stats, but and it wasn't that the offensive line was dominating. It was that Arkansas's defensive was scared to come after Manziel because they didn't want to turn him loose in the open field. So, but it's the ability to make you pay when you blitz. And if you have that, You're not ever outmanned as far as numbers up front, because if you can execute the short passing game and the reads and you know, picking the plays that hurt the, you know, if they got nine guys up there, you can dump it to somebody and they're going to run a long time, right? So that's where quarterback play really significantly impacts how good your offensive line has to be. Now, they're better. People that I've talked to that watch the scrimmages say that the defense is not running through like they were last year. But it's having a little more depth, having a little more experience, and a little more ability up front, a little more strength. It's going to keep getting better as these guys become. You still don't look out there and see a bunch of juniors and seniors in the offensive line. You know, some old dogs. You know, we got the sassy dog in here, but you want old dogs in the offensive line.
And the old crusty men, yeah.
You want guys that got some
dogs. You want grown men, yeah.
You want some guys that got some dogs.
You want some 21 and 22-year-olds playing in the offensive line. But it's you also like to have juniors and seniors with ability playing quarterback, and that's where they're at now.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.